whoever has preceded me on the air, be it the Art of Noise, Wide World of Noise, Art of Noise is not really the name, sorry about that. Wide World of Noise, or whatever, has always come up with some great music segue into my show. So I never really felt the need to develop a theme. You're welcome, Mike Norman. So, Psychedelic Assassin will be back next week, and believe it or not, I will be back for one more time next week, and then Brain Damage becomes part of broadcasting history here at WUSB. And, well, I do have to give you an idea. The law of conservation of programming at WUSB is programming, or programmers, are neither created nor destroyed, but change their form. So I may morph into something. I may morph into, the Green Ranger or whatever. But I don't know what I'm going to morph into yet. But on the other hand, when someone morphs or metamorphoses or whatever you want to call it, do they really know what they're going to turn into? Does a larva know that it's going to turn into a butterfly, a caterpillar, or whatever? So it's a rare opportunity when you know what you're going to morph into. Who was first in the Dr. Blue? McCoy or Pertwee? Did Pertwee know he was going to morph into McCoy or regenerate? One thing Howard Margolin should have asked these guys next time he interviewed him. 12:03 here on WUSB Stony Brook. The name of the show is Brain Damage for now. The name of me is Matt for now. The name of you is whatever you want to be for now. The number is 632-6901 for now. And you know what the policy is. I don't answer until all the lines are filled up. And you got a ways to go yet. Also means those of you who complain constantly that you never get a chance to get on the air until an hour and a half into the show because I'm too busy talking to other people. Well, now's your chance to get through. And also, I do make specific references to people all the time. It's completely against station and FCC policy, but on the other hand, this is interactive media, and I better get used to it. So, I do have to make an official request to the left brain and the right brain, who were originally scheduled to join me tonight, to make up for the for every opportunity that they may not have gotten at the Anyone Can Post show a few months back, to call me immediately. That's right, folks, immediately. And I also means I'm going to have to take a break and go through all the lines to make sure that they are there, ready to listen to what I have to tell them, meaning how to get here. So, left brain and right brain, please give me a call now. Get to a phone wherever you are. If you are on the Stony Brook campus, that may be, it's in front of the Union Building, the front, not the parking lot where you park. It is at the front of the Union Building. There is a payphone. Drop a quarter, dial 632-6901. If you can get through, or maybe you're waiting for me now. But get on the horn, and I will see to it that you join me here when you're ready. In the meantime, we do have someone who will at some point be filling this airtime. Actually, he'll be doing it from 12 to 3 on an alternating basis. And this is what the guy sounds like. Enjoy.
Coming up on February 18th, 1995, at 7 p.m., it's Modern Ears. On this edition of Modern Ears, we will have some live improvisation. That's coming up on February 18th, 1995, at 7 p.m., featuring the famous Don Lawn Sextet. Be sure to tune in, Modern Ears.
Like a perfume, like a perfume, like a perfume, like a perfume, like a perfume.
Listen to what shoppers are saying about Psychedelicatessen.
They got everything I want here, even things I'd never once thought I'd like to need. It makes a nice show. A nice show.
Quality, redundancy, and all my favorite talent.
It makes a nice show. A nice show.
I'm sorry, I can't read this.
Yes, the Psychedelicatessen. Saturday nights, 10 to midnight. The Psychedelicatessen.
It makes a nice sandwich. A nice sandwich.
And from a deli owner, that's a rave.
On Saturday, the 28th of January, tune in to the Psychedelicatessen as we present a tribute to the 13th Floor Elevators, one of the trippiest psychedelic bands to come out of Texas, and the only band to feature an electric jug player. Yes, plenty of pop-tastic tunes and an interview with the 13th Floor Elevators. Saturday, January 28th, on the Psychedelicatessen.
You know, I remember an episode of I Dream of Jeannie where Jeannie blinked a 13th floor on a hotel, and the ongoing message was no hotel in the world had a 13th floor. Now, I don't know this for a fact, even though I've been in buildings that have had more than 13 or 14 floors. Is there a 13th floor in, let's say, the Marriott Marquis or some large place that it's familiar to a lot of people? Anybody who's been there, give me a call, 632-6901, left and right brain. There is one line open. Dial it. Okay, I hope you're listening and not complaining that Matt didn't tell us what door to go through. Well, if you'd stayed on the teleconference last week, I would have told you. Anyway, here we go. Brain damage.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, turn your radio down.
Turn the radio down.
Right, there you go.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
I'm doing pretty good, too.
That's nice.
So, how are you going to be talking about tonight? Got any good subjects?
Well, I was hoping you'd have one.
Actually, I have nothing whatsoever to talk about. I just like to call you.
Oh, that's nice.
I like to call back every week.
So?
And annoy the crap out of you.
So?
I have a lot of friends that like to do the same thing.
That's nice.
But sometimes we're pretty good, sometimes we're pretty bad.
And sometimes you actually do something creative, which
sometimes
is...
Sometimes we do.
Yeah. So what is your creative way of annoying the crap out of me tonight?
We're going to think about it. We're going to think about it. We don't know yet.
Well,
actually,
take your time.
Actually, I was just watching a video.
Yeah.
These 15-year-old girls.
Yeah.
These kids just, they don't even know them. They go to some... What's the name of the town?
Dodge City.
This is true. And they pick up these 15-year-old girls, they get them drunk, and they strip. It's a home video.
Oh, neato.
Yeah. And not my friend's home videos or anything. And they sell this. They sell this, they make money off this. But I'm not going to mention any names.
Well, they must not have such a great income, because I know the appeal of those things is rather limited.
I'm not sure. Hold on a second.
Considering that if they actually made money.
Hello?
Hello. Who do you think?
My main man!
Your main man, I guess.
How's it going down there?
Not bad.
Yo, they tell you about the naked 15-year-old?
What naked 15-year-old?
The one in Dodge City, my man.
Whoopee?
Why, you got 15-year-olds running around naked down there?
Boy, you must lead a boring life.
What you talking about?
If you really care about naked 15-year-olds?
Why, you get them all the time?
Naked 15-year-olds? Do we have naked 15-year-olds here at the WSB?
I'm still looking.
We joined the station. Twit. We joined the station here. There were rumors that there were naked 15-year-olds, and we joined just to... Or did we? Did we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we joined because of the rumors that there were naked 15-year-olds running around here. Well, they never showed up. And, yeah, WUSB, we have naked 15-year-olds. Now, I've been at this station for the better part of 12 years, and I haven't seen one yet.
I've seen Dick in shorts, and that's on a pretty
sight. Well, yeah, if you multiply 15 by, what, 2.7, yeah, you'll get Nick. But, okay, that's about the closest thing to a naked 15-year-old we have, a 35-year-old in shorts. Okay, so, we move on. Brain damage.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Jim, let me move you over to this side. I have a poetry guy who was trying to call, but since I was on the phone with this Forrest Gump perversion just a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, the problem is, I've been reading this in Entertainment Weekly, latest issue, pick it up in the newsstands. I shouldn't say that, unless they pay me to. Anyway, Entertainment Weekly was lamenting the fact that Hollywood was going on this trend of stupid movies.
Uh-huh.
Forrest Gump, Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Beavis and Butthead. Oh, get a load of this. They're going to make the Beavis and Butthead movie live action.
Oh, really?
Who is going to play Beavis and Butthead?
Who?
I have no idea, but maybe they can recruit from this show. Hang on. Okay. Stick around.
All right.
Okay. Brain damage.
What's up?
What's down?
I just wanted to say I can't stand those Jerky Boy impersonators who called up. It's pretty lame.
Yeah, I know. Well, at least they didn't say beef jerky.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good, man. They're like, they must just hear that tape and think they can become celebrities at pranking or talking crap on the radio, you know?
Well, you know what's even funnier? The Jerky Boys, this is one thing that has annoyed the hell the crap out of me, okay? Subconsciously, these guys have annoyed me. I've listened to the Jerky Boys, naturally, because I get so many imitators here on the air. I want to hear what the real thing sounds like. Well, let's face it, folks. Atlantic Records picked them up too late.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've been making prank phone calls and recording them since I was 10, so it's nothing new to me.
Yeah. Atlantic Records, first of all, the bootleg has been re-recorded and re-recorded and re-recorded, so by the time you get it, it's 98th generation, so it sounds worse than a phone call. But the bootleg version was interesting. When the novelty wore off, then they put the Jerky Boys on CD, and then they became, then they signed up with Atlantic Records. Man, if I knew that Atlantic Records would buy that, I'd send them all my old shows.
Definitely, that would be cool, because I got plenty of crap, too, that I recorded on just calling up people and stuff. And
you know what? There is somebody I know, a friend of mine, works for Atlantic Records, or interned for them. I don't know if she does it anymore. I got to ask her. Also got to ask her if they get a lot of these unsolicited Jerky Boy imitation tapes now that they found out the Jerky Boys have signed with them.
Yeah, I've been busy making third-class movies in the Smith Haven Mall lately, and I'm going to mail those out to people and see what happens. Even though they're private, you can get in trouble, but who cares?
Well, actually, don't be so ashamed that it's a third-class movie, because I think the third-class movie is about the best you can do in Smith Haven Mall. Lighting is awful. Now, you've been using video or you've been using film?
I've been just using videotapes, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Viewing, like, mentally unstable people inside the mall and stuff.
Security guards. Don't tell me you're one of them.
What?
I said the security guards.
Uh-huh. What about them?
Well, you said you were videotaping mentally unstable people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Hold on, please.
Yes. Why'd you hang up? Okay. Whatever. Brain damage.
Hello.
Hello.
Brain damage.
Yeah.
Brain damage.
Very funny. Very funny.
Brain damage. Ha ha, very funny.
Brain damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah, sure.
This show sucks.
So do you. Brain damage.
Hi, am I on the air yet?
Well, yeah.
I'm on the air?
Yeah, about time, right?
Yeah, can I say hi to some people?
Yeah, make it quick.
I'd like to say hi to Vinny and Louie. And Marco. Hello?
And Trisha and Pat and Checkers, too?
No. Hold on a second. My phone's in Tokyo, right?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Get real. Okay. Let's see. The collective IQ of the brain damage listener has just dropped from, what, 5 to 4? You know, we should put the collective IQ of brain damage on the stock market and see how it would do. It would probably go up and down in eighths. Brain damage.
Matt.
Yes.
This is John.
Hey, John, what's up?
What provoking shows you're putting on these days?
Ain't my fault.
I know, I'm just joking. What's going on?
Oh, not much. I'm waiting with bated breath to be down on the floor of Madison Square Garden as the Red Men play Pitt tomorrow.
We're gonna kill them tomorrow. I've seen Pittsburgh play about 4 or 5 times this year.
Yeah.
And if St. John's is on his last leg,
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh needs a wheelchair.
Pittsburgh's bad.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know who coaches them anymore. Paul Evans is gone, right?
Evans is gone. Who coaches them now? Oh, boy. You're right. I don't think they have a coaching staff. It's just collective. So, in any case, in answer to your question before, there are many Jerky Boy imitators that are out on the market now that is available for sale in a record store.
Yeah, incredible, ain't it?
Yeah, and no, they're not as good as the first one. And the fact that they're making a movie out of it just blows my mind. It's coming out on Friday. I don't know if you've seen the trailers for it yet.
No, I haven't. They're just calling it the Jerky Boys or something like that?
The actual Jerky Boys are starring in the movie.
You're kidding.
They're actually making a movie out of something that happened on the phone.
You know what's really funny? You have a lot of people playing themselves in television shows and movies and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And you would think if somebody's playing himself or herself...
Yeah.
You would think that they'd be able to do it pretty well.
I know, and
they
and
don't.
Well, that never happens like that. Case in point, what's his name? The guy who played Buttafuoco.
Oh yeah, Ed Marinara.
Yeah, him and what's the other guy's name? I don't know. He's on some new Channel 9 series. That's another joke. UPN and
mm-hmm.
his new networks they have on.
Yeah.
It's like a step below Fox.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why there are only 3 networks, because that's about as much programming, new comedy programming that they can fill.
I don't know how to get off of that Baywatch Acapulco Heat extravaganza that they used to put on Monday nights.
Mm-hmm.
The programming, I don't know who programmed that Channel 9, but it was just horrible. Did you ever see Hulk Hogan's show?
No. Oh, no, I take that back. I did see it in a bar once when I was falling down drunk. And
well,
it wasn't so bad then.
That's probably about the only way you can stand something like that.
Yeah, and also no sound.
It's just a horrible show. It's just awful. What do you think about Mike Tyson appealing his trial? Did you hear anything?
Well, I think about that? I haven't heard anything new about that yet.
He's
but
appealing because he said that
getting out in a couple of months anyway.
The trial judge was hampered.
Hampered by what?
Hampered by previous sex crimes. She had prosecuted previous sex crimes.
Oh, God. They will do anything. But the guy's going to be out in a couple of months anyway. Why is he just appeal?
Good behavior.
Shut up, get out of good behavior. That's nice. But also, just appeal to the courts. You said, let me out just to save the sport of boxing, folks.
Are you a big boxing fan?
Not as big as I used to be.
Shannon Briggs, remember that name?
Shannon Briggs. Okay. I'm sure Jamie's father is a fight promoter. You know Jamie Alex on the sports section. And Jamie follows that very well, naturally, because he is also a licensed promoter.
Yeah.
But Shannon Briggs, you know what? The name starts to sound familiar now that I've been thinking about it.
He won 4 Golden Gloves, and now he's from the same neighborhood as Tyson and Bo.
Brownsville.
Yeah, and he's bigger than both of them. He's like a combination of both.
Wow.
I think Riddick Bowe has been given a raw deal. He'll never get the number one contender spot, especially now that Tyson's coming out of jail.
Well, yeah. Let's be honest. Bowe is a good fighter. Bowe's not Tyson.
Oh, no, he's not. But I think, granted, he's the best fighter out there now.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and now I'm sure I'll get some calls saying, how could you talk about Tyson like that way, talk about a rapist that way?
Yeah.
Well, boxing was never known to be the cleanest sport in the world.
Uh-huh.
It's like saying that, okay, what about all the hip-hop singers who are up on charges of different kinds, like Tupac Shakur, or, hey, Snoop Dogg is up for murder, right?
Now he's charging $10 to watch a video on pay-per-view. Anything for money these days, man.
Oh, a video of Snoop Dogg or the Court TV version?
Oh, no, it's just a video.
You know, I'm surprised because Court TV has been caught up with all this OJ stuff. They haven't even bothered to check in on Snoop Dogg.
I can't even watch this OJ trial anymore. It's lost interest.
Yeah, I know, because I think what was funny when he was first busted, people were saying...
When he was first busted.
Yeah, how he was...
It was during the Knicks playoffs.
Yep, and how he was... how everybody was so shocked about how somebody so famous.
I was going, go, yeah. O.J., go.
Yeah, or how shocked everybody was somebody as famous as O.J. could do something like that.
Yeah, I was like, ew.
Now it's like, Gasman, get it over with.
I know, right? Well, do you think he did it?
I am starting to become, I tried to give it the benefit of a doubt, because let's face it, O.J. had some pretty seedy connections. And now I'm saying, if in fact somebody else did do it, they put one hell of a frame up on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't say that he did it, because I'm trying to be like Lancito here.
Yeah.
Just saying, try to be as unprejudiced as possible.
Yeah.
But it's getting more and more difficult. When the defense is starting the smoke and mirrors stuff, I'm starting to wonder.
Prowler is about as unbearing as Newt Gingrich's mother.
Well, I'll tell you something. I have to say that the defense is doing the best it can under the circumstances, and if I were a defense lawyer or if I were in need of one, I'd like to have them do the same thing. I'd like to go, go the full smoke and mirrors and do whatever you can to get me off. And you know what? They just might.
They said there's a poll in the paper by legal consultants that if it went to trial now, that he would get off.
That's scary, because I don't think they can get 12 people to vote one way or the other.
Yeah, the jury hasn't been selected yet, correct?
The jury has been sequestered. There are a whole bunch of alternates, and the trial is just about to get underway.
Yeah.
And I think one has just been bounced.
Yeah, really?
So, yeah.
I know that, another trial that'll never get a jury is the Colin Ferguson trial, only because he's representing himself, and he gets the right of first refusal on any juror.
Yeah.
And this guy's not going to pick anybody. It's taken so long to get. He picked two jurors the other day, and that's another joke.
How many people saw him do it? Just light up everybody who was on that freaking train who didn't have a bullet in him.
Yeah,
hey, he pulled out a gun. He fired it, okay? That's nobody else did it.
Just a little bit of stress the guy had that day.
Yeah.
But anyway, so St. John's tomorrow. And we're going for the NIT. I know you're thinking NCAAs, but we're going for the NIT.
Hey, the NIT, I have to give you this, the NIT is an improvement, but remember, there are 12 games left in the Big East season, so
they have to go 8-5 to make the NCAA.
8-5 to make the NCAA, and they have to beat Seton Hall this time around. Let's be honest, which five are they going to lose? The games against Georgetown, the games against Syracuse, and the games against UConn.
You watched the Syracuse game?
Yeah, I did. I caught it on the rewind. I didn't catch it on the rewind. I caught the highlights of it. Unfortunately, I was working while it was on.
Felipe was awesome.
But I heard that they pretty much tanked the game in the first 5 minutes.
It was awesome, and now then that Hamilton is more and more invisible as the season goes by.
Well, he better step up, or else they're not even going to make the NIT at this rate.
Yep, and Midland had a quiet game, too.
I'm not overly worried, because if they were getting blown out by Syracuse, then I'd be worried.
And losing, joke is the fact that UMass is still number one.
Hey, losing by six, that's ridiculous. UMass lost a game.
They lost a game. They beat Temple today by one point.
Yeah. UMass lost one game,
yep,
and beat a vastly inferior rival in the Atlantic 10,
yep,
by one point. Yep. Why isn't UConn number one?
You know me, I'm a St. John's fan, and definitely not a UConn fan, but all indications say that, I mean, I don't know why they're number one. You know, it's,
UConn.
The voters thinking is that you have to actually lose the number one spot. They have to actually lose a game while they're at number one to lose the number one spot. But it's so clear now that Connecticut's a better team than UMass.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think North Carolina's going to win everything this year.
Well, they've done it before. They've risen out of nowhere to win it all.
Have you caught any North Carolina games this year?
Unfortunately, no.
Did you guys see Jerry Stackhouse play?
I gotta watch him, yeah.
Amazing player. In any case, could you put me on the side, man?
Sure, yeah, I'll put you on with Jim. Hang on.
Cool.
Hello?
Yeah.
Jim, I'm gonna put John on with you. Okay. Have fun, folks.
All right.
Okay, let's see. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, poetry guy.
No.
Who? Mr. Wizard.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hang on for a second.
Wait, what?
Hello?
Hey, Matt, what's
poetry
up?
Guy, yes. Okay. Yeah, I want to, I know you've been dialing and you get the voicemail and stuff like that. So, what's up tonight? You know what? I got this correspondence here, this and very thick envelope, and I'm very, very happy with the gifts that have been given me here. There is a little message for you in particular. Okay? This fellow asks you to seek out The Enormous Room by E.E. Cummings. You may even have it.
The Enormous Room? No, I don't have that.
You don't have that one. Okay, make sure the edition contains the author's introduction, which is actually a self-interview. Regretfully, this would have made for interesting, provocative, on-air reading. Well, not would have, still can. Like I said, I don't know what our opportunities are going to be next week because Eric and I will be sharing the time. But, hey, if I get some time to myself on the air, I'll let you read it if you get hold of it.
The Enormous Interview?
The Enormous Room.
Oh, room.
The Enormous Room.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and he got me this little seven-liner in French. Now I know what it means, and I'm wondering if I should read it. It's pretty steamy.
Yeah.
Quite literally steamy, because the word for steamy is in there.
Oh, in French?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So maybe I'll save it for the end of the show. Who knows?
I was gonna tell you, although I don't know if you want it, mentioned over the air, but I remembered what today was.
Oh yes, thank you. You know what? You had to remind me. Actually, since I was born at 11:02 a.m. on this day, you know what? Since it's the second to last show anyway, might as well not lie about it anymore. Or at least keep it a secret, folks. Today, January 22nd, 1995, is my 30th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
That's cool.
That's right. And I have been dealing with the, I guess it's the end of every decade. When you turn 20, you're officially not a teenager anymore. When you turn 30, you're not young anymore. When you turn 40, you are officially middle-aged. When you turn 50, I don't know about 50. 50 doesn't seem to be that big a deal. 60 means you're officially an old fart. 70, you're lucky to be there. 80, you're really lucky to be there. And 90, you're not so lucky to be there. Because nothing works anymore.
30's just time to worry about your cholesterol or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, God. Family has a history of heart disease, too. I gotta start worrying about getting tired early, not healing as easily, not being able to jump around as much. I mean, Patrick Ewing is 31. He can't jump around the way he used to. But it's mostly because he couldn't jump around the way he used to at 22 when he was 25 because his knees were beat up by then. But still, I noticed a friend of mine who plays semi-pro football, he's only 26. And he was telling me 2 years ago, back when he was 24, you know, it takes longer to recover from each week. That was 24.
Oh, 24, wow.
Wow. That's why they say hockey players. That's why the whole thing with the hockey contract. Hockey players are pretty much useless by the time they reach 30, unless they're among the best ever, like a guy like Messier.
Yeah.
So free agency at 32 isn't going to do anybody much good.
Listen, is it possible you can do what we normally do, or is that not possible?
At this moment, let me check here. At this moment, not right now, but I can call you back a little bit later?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah, because right now I don't have the line free.
Yeah, because I got something I want to talk to you about, but I don't want to stay on too long right now.
Right, I understand. So I will call you back in a bit.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks. Okay, that was the poetry guy, and we move on to what else is going on. Mr. Wizard.
How you doing?
Hey, what's going on tonight?
Heard your show is being canceled.
Well, not being canceled, kind of fading away on its own.
Well, you've done a good job, Matt.
Thanks.
Listen, I know you want to get this line free, and I know you have some malice towards me for...
Hang on. You're going to have to wait. I have to do this because another line is blinking. Just a second. Brain damage.
Hey, Matt, what's up?
Hey.
Hey.
Okay, can I hang on for a second?
Yeah, what?
Just hang on.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, what? Wow, that was college guy.
Yeah, I just have eight lines blinking, that's all.
I have a few comments, okay?
Yes.
First of all, it was interesting you were talking about morphing before, because I just finished Stevenson's Jekyll and Hyde.
Yep.
Right before I called, and the way
yep.
he describes it was so fascinating. Was just ever read it?
No, I've never read the book. I've only seen the movie versions.
But he goes into such long descriptions on it, morphs from Hyde to Jekyll and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Also, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, you were commenting on the IQ of people who listen to your show.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. You used the same joke this week and last week, and no one got it last week, and I don't think many people got it this week about the Nixon family.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That.
Yeah, it's the same line from the Checkers speech over and over again.
Yeah, and I don't
wow,
think many people got
TV.
That, but let me tell you, I did, all right?
Cool.
Also, the Jerky Boy movie is coming out February 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a call to Bill Clinton in it, which is staged, obviously.
Yeah, call to Bill Clinton. Yeah, I wonder who did the voice.
I don't know, but they have the shadow of Bill Clinton talking. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
And you know there's four networks, not three.
Well, you're including Fox now, but prior to 1986, there were three.
Well, prior to 1994, there were also three because... Fox just passed the FCC rule to become a network. You have to have a certain amount of original programming.
Yeah.
They just got that, like, about a year ago.
I know the FCC had a rule concerning what made you a network. But that, I guess so, because they do have a rule whether or not why a tomato is a vegetable and not a fruit. So why not?
Do?
Yeah, they do.
What a waste of time.
Yeah, incredible, ain't it? Well, actually, it had something to do with the Department of Agriculture and taxation and subsidies and weird stuff like that. So somebody actually had to go through the motions and say that tomato was a vegetable and not a fruit, even though from the taxonomy of it, it is a fruit.
What do you think of Newt Gingrich?
What do I think of Newt Gingrich? Newt Gingrich is another political buffoon that neither party is overly proud. Well, I shouldn't say neither party is overly proud to have, but...
Why do you call him a buffoon?
Newt Gingrich, why do I call him a buffoon?
Yeah.
Hello. Look up the word buffoon in the dictionary and tell me if it doesn't apply to Newt.
I got it right. I've got my dictionary.
Okay, read the definition of buffoon.
Buffoon. A clown, a jester, and that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
No number two meaning in there.
I'm looking for it. Hold on. It's an electronic dictionary, so...
Uh-huh.
Oh, a deficient person with intelligence in a low range. And then a foolish or a stupid person.
Well, for a history PhD, which Newt is,
yeah.
He has a pretty interesting view of history.
He said a few good things. Did you get his new book?
No, I didn't.
It's not his, but Newtisms.
Newtisms.
Yeah, from the same people who published Gumpisms.
Yeah, probably better than Quailisms, I'm sure.
But they had some good quotes, like Newt said that we created a government for, by, and of the people, and it turned into a government for, by, and of the government, and he wants to change that.
Well, that's a nice little smoke and mirror statement that just about everyone from, let's see...
Smoke and mirror statement?
Yeah, from Chairman Mao to Adolf Hitler has said it at least once in their political lifetimes.
So why are you changing? What are you going off the air for?
What am I going off the air for?
Yeah.
Like I said, regeneration.
What do you mean regeneration?
Regeneration. You know, Doctor Who, he comes back as somebody else. You know, John Pertwee becomes Sylvester McCoy, who becomes whoever the hell else. I don't remember how many doctors there were.
Green Ranger becomes the White Ranger, et cetera.
Well, the Green Ranger does become the White Ranger?
He did.
No, sorry, I don't follow the show.
I don't follow it either, but I read it in TV Guide, so...
Oh, come on, you follow it.
I follow it. That's my favorite show. I want to be home every day at 4:30 or whenever it's on just to watch that show.
I thank God that I'm not.
What?
I thank God that I'm not around to watch the show. Unfortunately, my 9.5-year-old niece loves the show, and as soon as she comes home from school, she watches it.
show is so bad. It's just not, it's not even good. It's just bad. Also, have you watched Saturday Night Live recently?
Well, that's one of the things that I am going to try to avoid consistently. That's one of the reasons why I've been so glad that I've been on the air while it's on.
They did have a good thing on David Hyde Pierce.
Saturday Night Live has been horrible since Dana Carvey left.
Actually, he had a funny monologue, really. Sung Modern Major General with the cast.
Oh, that's... I am the very model of a Modern Major General. I have information, animal, and vegetable,
and
mineral.
But
yeah, you know how long it takes to rehearse that to get it right?
But he sung a different version of it, and it was funny. Like, I'm on Kelsey Grammer's show, and then it was just funny. It was, like, actually one of the first good things I've seen since Saturday Night Live this season. Do you like the show?
That's what happens when you hire too many Harvard grads.
Why don't you like the show anyway?
Why don't I like Saturday Night Live?
I don't like it personally.
I used to love it. I used to, back in the days of
it used to be great.
The Not Ready for Primetime Players, and even Eddie Murphy and Joe Piscopo, and even with Billy Crystal, they've had their bad years, I have to admit.
Yeah,
but
1978.
It was 1980.
1978 was bad also.
Why was 78 bad?
Because I read that on TV Guide.
78 was not bad.
I heard it was a bad year. I wasn't...
But 78, that's garbage. 1980 was the bad year they were talking about. The one with Charles Rocket saying the F word on the air.
They said it on the air?
National television.
And they didn't bleep it out?
Well, it was live. They couldn't. There was no delay.
Wow. So, you know what?
Yeah.
All right. What do you think of Kennedy, the MTV person?
Ooh.
In this Daily News that I'm reading right now.
Ooh,
like
Kennedy?
Talking about her, how she thinks Dan Quayle will be in the White House in the year 2000. And that's really interesting because...
It could happen, but I think she does it for effect. You see, people like her shtick is to satirize the Republican Party and what some of these Republicans stand for in general by joining them. It's like if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, is it, look how stupid they are, I'm one of them, that kind of thing.
Well, you know, I've been reading some good political cartoons lately, right?
Yeah.
There's a few with Bill Clinton and Boris Yeltsin, and there's others with Newt Gingrich, and it is good. But there was one that had a postal worker, right?
Yeah.
In his office, looking at two charts on the wall.
Yeah.
And the first chart, with a upward slope, said price of a stamp. All right?
Uh-huh.
Had years in the bottom, and, you know, it increased, okay?
Right.
The second graph had a downward slope, and it said number of complaint letters, and I thought that was funny.
Downward slope? Oh, number of complaint letters? Oh, it's because it's more expensive to send one. Yeah, naturally.
Yeah. It's just good.
Yeah. Okay, got to go. I'll put
you
on.
I know you do. Let me just tell you one more thing.
Yeah.
Do you ever read Finnegan's Wake?
No, I haven't, but I've been dying to. Because several Irish friends of mine have recommended it.
I want you to go read it.
James Joyce, yes.
Not Irish, but...
James Joyce is so Irish.
I'm not Irish.
Oh.
But I know Irish people, and I've read Finnegan's Wake. It's an excellent book. It's impossible to understand.
Maybe I'll get it figured out by St. Paddy's Day.
Well, yeah, do that, and read Dostoevsky also.
Dostoevsky?
Yeah.
Him I've read. I've never got a chance to finish any of his books, but I've read some of it.
Never had a chance to finish his books.
Finish any of his books.
Read War and Peace.
That's Tolstoy.
Yes, I know.
Okay.
I just want to know if you finished that, War and Peace.
No one has.
You haven't?
Finished War and Peace?
I know people who have.
You, I guess?
What?
You, I guess?
Never actually read it, no.
Okay.
I finished Dostoevsky's other one, so.
Dream of a Ridiculous Man.
Dream of a Ridiculous Man?
What?
Oh, was that? Oh, is that a short story or is that a whole novel?
Ask him if you read The Idiot.
The Idiot.
No, not yet. But I read Notes from Underground and Dream of a Ridiculous Man.
Notes from Underground, Dream of a Ridiculous Man. You know what? I'll start with the short stories first because that's all I have time for.
Notes from Underground, I heard.
Have you ever read Pushkin?
Brothers Karamazov was excellent, though. Did you read it?
Pushkin, you ever read the short story, The Shot?
No.
Oh, that's so Russian, it's unbelievable. Anyway.
I have to go.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, gotta get down. You know what? I have to take a break, folks, because not so much that I have to screen calls, but since I am expecting somebody on a call, I gotta go through them real quick. And I don't want to put people off the air capriciously. They have to have a reason. They have to screw up on their own. So I will get a few more of these words in from several of my fellow record spinners and CD spinners here at WUSB. Here we go.
Tune in to Mutant Radio, alternate Friday nights, midnight to 3 a.m., WUSB Stony Brook, Radio Free Long Island.
Kids, listen up. Dead End Radio is packing up and moving. That's right, say goodbye to Wednesday mornings. Starting January 31st, Dead End Radio's assault of pure pop, punk, and garage trash will be coming at you on Tuesday mornings from 3 to 6:30 here on 90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook. Tuesdays may never be the same again.
I do know something. You know what? That's another thing I got. Who did that song, Sunday Will Never Be the Same? I think that's Spanky and our gang. Well, anyway, Sunday will never be the same. Well, it won't be once I'm out of this slot. Well, the one thing that is the same, that's going to be the same every Sunday for as long as there are people physically capable of doing it, the sports section from 10 to midnight, if you are of the sports inclination. I know not all of you are, but that's okay. We never necessarily discriminate against you. Anyway, that is on from 10 to midnight every week, and not quite as often I am on it. So, like I said, this voice is not completely gone from the scene, not part of broadcasting history, but this show will be in one more week. So, I will go back to the phones because I have a whole bunch of people waiting. Wow, this is neat. I got 7 lines filled up, and I got 3 people on one of them. Cool. Brain damage.
Hey, Matt, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
I have the news about Pert Plus.
Pert Plus. Now, what's wrong with that?
It makes your hair fall out, apparently.
Well, I don't use it.
Saying if anyone out there does, stop using it because it makes your hair fall out.
Yeah, you know, I kind of wish I was using it.
What?
At least I'd have an excuse.
Your hair's falling. That's right. You hit the big 3-0 today, isn't that true, Matt?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah. It means I'm 32 years from applying for Social Security.
Does that depress you, or does it?
I don't know. It's really weird. I can't use youth as an excuse anymore, and I'm not old enough to use age as an excuse. I'm in one of that no excuses time of life. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't know what you mean because I'm like...
I can't use youth as an excuse for being irresponsible, and I can't use age as an excuse for being absent-minded, so I have no excuses at the age of 30.
I'm forced to take responsibility for whatever you do.
No, it's not so much that take... It's a lot... In many cases, it's taking responsibility for what other people do, too, and that's...
So I can start blaming your generation now.
Oh, that's right. I can't be trusted anymore.
Right.
That's right, folks. Officially, as of 45 minutes ago, Matt, the host of Brain Damage, for at least as long as it survives, can no longer be trusted. Not that any of you trusted me anyway.
Oh, I trust you, man. You know that. But, you know, now you're kind of being... You're a part of that generation now.
I'm the establishment. I am the man.
You're the man. I'm being held down by the man, and the man is you, man.
I am the man.
You are the institution.
Now, I'm waiting for homie to clown to bot me, man. Spiny Norman's got this huge
impressive
bag. Maybe he'll bot me with that.
Yeah, hit you on the head with a sock or something.
That's right, yeah. And now that I've become 30, I am the man.
You are the man, Matt.
You're officially 30?
Yeah, 30, yeah. January 22nd, my birthday.
Happy birthday. That means you're an Aries.
No, I'm an Aquarius.
Aquarius?
Yeah, I'm so... Yeah, the Aquarians. The Aquarians are supposed to be the flighty, weird ones. Well, that explains why I've been doing the show.
Matt, you're aware that you have a caller, right?
A car?
Are you aware that you have a caller and you just like can't be holding conversations indiscriminately with people in the studio?
Happy birthday anyway.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have a caller. Oh, yeah, well...
Man, I'd like you to reflect on a quote, okay?
Yes.
He who is, he who forgets is destined to remember. And apply that quote to the crisis in Chechnya.
Yes. Let's see. I've been reading up on Stalin lately. You know that SOB had some troubles with Chechens, too?
Yeah, I heard about that. I was doing a special on.
Well, I shouldn't say that he had troubles with Chechens. He kind of created troubles for Chechens. All his troubles were perceived. He just created them for other people.
Yeah, he is not really wrong. He just reflected his anxiety on other people, basically.
Yeah, you talk about a major paranoid screwball.
Yeah, that would be him.
Yeah.
Yep. Did you know that it was not... You know in North Korea?
Yeah.
It wasn't China that was instigating it?
No, it was Stalin. That's why Stalin died in March of 53, correct?
Yeah.
And
so.
The armistice was put in place by July.
It was Stalin. Everyone was blaming Mao for that.
Hell no. Mao was kissing Stalin's butt since 49.
Right.
As soon as Stalin kicked the bucket, then Mao went on his own because Khrushchev was too
moderate.
Soft. Yeah, too soft for Mao's taste. But... On the other hand, yeah.
You'd be saying Khrushchev was soft when he's doing his "We will bury you" speech. I don't really understand.
Oh, that was.
Harrison with Stalin, of course. Khrushchev was soft, though.
Compared to anyone, anyone compared to Stalin is soft. Hitler was soft compared to Stalin.
Yeah.
Hitler directed most of his hatred at people, at non-Germans, at people who he didn't consider his own. Stalin attacked his own.
Which is really sick if you think about it.
That's even sicker. I mean, I'm not excusing anything Hitler did. Hitler was barbaric as hell, and so was Mao, because Mao not only did it to his own people, huh?
You mean the Holocaust happened?
Absolutely.
There are people out there are saying it didn't happen.
People out there, let's see, what is the favorite drug among National Front types? What's a favorite drug among National Front types?
What?
I don't know. What do they smoke?
I wouldn't know.
Whatever they smoke, of course it happened. Where'd they get the pictures of all the dead bodies? Thank you very much.
No. How can you say? What is their logic?
Where do they get the evidence? Imperial War Museum. Okay, the Holocaust Museum in Washington, of course, has just been put up. But prior to that, the British liberated Bergen-Belsen. And they took all the artifacts from that and put it in a special wing of the Imperial War Museum in London. And you want to see gore, you want to see proof, go. And, of course, the Holocaust Museum in Washington has plenty more where that came from.
Another thing, how come people are objecting to the stamp with the atomic bomb on it?
Oh, because they said, it was such a tragic occurrence, 75,000 people died.
Moment, I
and, you know, okay, I got an idea.
The greatest achievement in science.
I got an idea.
Shoot.
For every atomic bomb stamp that they sell...
Yeah?
Sell a stamp of the Bataan Death March.
That's an idea. Holy cow.
Yeah. Okay. Or let's see. Some of the massacres that the Japanese pulled in China. Okay. You want... Hey. Or the anticipated casualty rate for the actual invasion of Japan, which was about to happen, had this not succeeded. Okay?
Because Japan would not have surrendered. They would have fought to the last guy, and we would have killed, like, much more people than the atomic bomb would have killed.
Why do you think we dropped two of them? You think we necessarily needed to drop two of them? Because no one thought they were going to give up.
Right. Well, I heard that I was watching A&E. If you ever watch any shows in A&E, they're very excellent, such as, like, Time Machine.
Now, of course, that's a politically incorrect, conservative, right-wing Republican view, but the fact of the matter is that a Democrat was running the country at the time. But,
Japan wanted to surrender, some people were saying.
Yeah, Japan did that. Tell me something. In the experience that
we will surrender
in the experience,
if you do that so-and-so.
In the experience that the Allies underwent with Japan, starting on December 7th, 1941, did Japan ever give any indication, in combat especially, that they were that they had any inclination to surrender?
They surrendered if they could have kept their emperor.
Well, they did.
Well, yeah, but they wanted to keep the same one. They keep him as being divine.
Well, that wouldn't have worked.
but they wanted to keep him divine. If they could have kept the emperor and said that he was still divine, they would have surrendered then and there.
Yeah, right. That was impossible.
Probably American diplomacy during the Second World War.
What, American diplomacy during the Second World War?
What, called American diplomacy during the Second World War?
American diplomacy during the Second World War was basically selling out Eastern Europe so that Stalin would join the war against Japan.
No, there's a whole book about their foreign policy and everything, about the policy in China during the war. It's a good book. You should read it. And I was saying, if they would have surrendered, if they could have kept the emperor divine. I know that wouldn't have worked, but I mean...
Another fact of the matter is that the Western allies had sufficient reason to demand unconditional surrender from Germany and Japan.
Oh, definitely. I agree 100% with you. Definitely,
yeah,
definitely.
They had plenty of reason to insist on that.
All right, your reflections. Why did America really launch D-Day?
Why did they launch D-Day, or why did they take 2 years to
do it? Why did they actually launch it when Germany was basically defeated already?
Oh, because they didn't want Russia to wind up on the Rhine River.
Yeah, good. I was trying to make that point in discussion with somebody.
It was pretty clear. Now, Volkogonov went over that in his book, that by the time D-Day was launched, by the time the invasion of France was
pretty
launched...
After Stalingrad, Germany was defeated.
After Stalingrad, Germany was pretty much through, and it's just a matter of time. But... Now, of course, the Russian point of view is this, too. The Allies delayed opening up the second front to bleed off Russia.
It'd be true. I think it could be true.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they were well aware of what was going on in 1937.
Right. They were going crazy. They wanted all of Europe.
No, Stalin was a son of a bitch, and he was killing all of his own people. So, you know, but on the other hand, killing more of them wasn't going to help matters. I don't like killing people. I really don't. If it came down to killing nobody and killing 5 million, of course I'm going to side with, don't kill anybody. You know, if I like the idea of suppose they gave a war and nobody came. I really like that kind of stuff. I like what was done during the October, well, not even just during the October Revolution in Russia, but during when the Russian army basically said, we're not fighting anymore. We just got 300,000 of our comrades wiped out at Tannenberg, and you guys were giving out troop movement messages in the open and not in code, so more of us got wiped out. We're not fighting anymore. We're not doing this. But we don't care about the Germans. They can have Yellow Russia. We don't care. We don't want to get killed anymore. And that's what happened. That's pretty much what sped up the revolution in Russia. And it might have happened anyway, but the ridiculous way they ran the Eastern Front in World War I definitely helped matters. And I'll tell you something, Vietnam, same thing. There wasn't so much of a problem in Vietnam itself, but basically it was, hell no, we won't go. We don't have any problem with the Vietnamese. We didn't even know who the hell they were until this thing started.
You're fighting somebody else's war for them, and that's
it's like let them fight it, and they're not doing such a very good job of it either. So they must not want to win.
Well, I know we lost basically.
Well, that's another. You know what? I love the fact that you bring these things up. I know I got a whole bunch of people waiting. I'm sorry. I will get to you because I do have an hour and 6 minutes.
When you get rid of me?
No, I'll put you on with Jim.
Oh, thanks.
Hang on.
Were you saying that I brought something interesting up? What?
Brought something interesting up. In today's day and age, when wars aren't necessarily decided with beginnings and ends,
right,
victory goes to the person with the moral high ground. And Vietnam, as much as we try to maintain it, we never really could. The reason why
Vietnam.
Israel...
I don't think there's any way we can really... It's your point, you can have your domino effect, but I don't think America could really justify getting into Vietnam.
You can't, again, using 1995 logic
on... Over there for no reason, try justifying it to them.
1995 logic on 1945 people, but that's another story. But the moral victor, Gandhi, explained it. Gandhi said, we don't have to fire a shot and we can chase the British out of here. Took a while, but they succeeded by maintaining the moral high ground. I'm not saying that it wasn't. It was completely nonviolent, but the basic approach
was... There was some bloodshed.
Yes.
They had a problem. You know your story that what precipitated the violence? That the British Army was making Indians fight in the regiments?
Yeah.
And they coated the bullets. They had a bite off the edge
sepoy
of it and put in the gun.
The sepoy mutiny, that's right.
And then so they had pork grease on it?
Yeah, the sepoy mutiny. That was back in the 1840s, wasn't it?
Right, it was Sepoy Mutiny, I believe.
Yeah, the Sepoy Mutiny, that's right. And the British just said, okay, we won't put pork grease on them anymore.
Yeah.
But
there was some bloodshed over that, though.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of bloodshed.
Well, I wonder what the Sepoys used to shoot with. But anyway.
That's not exactly the most stable place in the world, either.
But let me add to my example here.
Please, yeah.
Gandhi maintained the moral high ground in his conflict with Britain, and Britain has prided itself on supposedly being morally superior to everyone. Well, we know better. Poland, under Lech Walesa, perfect example again, maintaining the moral superiority to his communist oppressors. Israel has managed to maintain that at least perceived moral high ground against the Palestinians. The PLO committed suicide in 1972.
A war?
By pulling that crap with the Olympics.
Yeah, by trying to hijack some...
The Israelis are saying, all we're doing is building a country for people who haven't had one in 2,000 years in the land where we believe we originated from, and all these people are trying to wipe us out. And that is why, and of course, since it was the land where Jesus walked, they got the Christian countries pretty much on their side and the Muslim countries against them. And the Muslim countries, and especially the Palestinians, always resorted to violence to try to drive the Israelis out.
Hey, look at the Palestinian point of view. They were thrown out of a land they've had for a long time. God said we could have it. Goodbye.
Well, that's right, and that's their point of view.
On their side, supporting them. What are the Palestinians going to do?
Well, I'll tell you what. Now, a Gandhi type of person would have said, we are going to just use civil disobedience. We're going to deal with them peacefully, but we're not going to obey them. No, hey, initially the Israelis would have started doing that, and the Israelis would have lost their credibility. I mean, lost it completely. And that is the way. If you're going to bring down Israel, that's how you bring down Israel,
okay,
by taking the moral high ground away from them. And that is where the Middle East in general has failed miserably. The Middle East has always come across as the attacker, as the aggressor, and they have failed to swing the opinion. And world opinion is important. Back to their way. Now with the Intifada, they're starting to balance it out a bit. We're basically innocent people, and the Israelis are beating up on us, but they haven't completely done it yet. And they also realize a point, the Israelis are there to stay, folks. You might as well just learn how to deal with them. And that's why we're getting as far as we've been in the Middle East peace accords. But the fact of the matter is, when you lose that moral high ground, or at least perceived moral high ground, you're through.
But, all right, I can see how you're saying that.
You're through. That's why Yeltsin is on such borrowed time. If Yeltsin doesn't swing this Chechnya thing back in his direction, he is gone. Lincoln had...
I think it was in Newsday that this is undoing him. This Chechnya thing is going to be his downfall.
They're not saying that it will be. They're saying that it can be.
It will be. You think it will be? Do you think this will bring him down?
Yeah, I think Yeltsin's gone, but I don't necessarily think his replacement's going to be that bad. That's still up in the air. Who's going to replace him? It won't be Zhirinovsky.
Oh, okay.
It will not be Zhirinovsky.
Will it be? Some hardliner? Or probably not a hardliner?
Not necessarily. He'll be more conservative, but he won't be hardline. Hardliners are through.
No, I don't think they're through.
They'll be a swing vote. They'll be a swing vote. They'll exert their influence, but they'll never take the majority again.
A hardline communist will never be in power again?
Nah.
Well, why? Because they would never let it be as bad as it was before? Or?
Even the hardline communists realize they can't go back to the way things were.
Well, there's some factions that think they can. I'm sure there are.
Yeah, but they're never going to... They're not numerous enough to take full control.
Nazi's not a communist, right? He's a fascist?
Who?
Zhirinovsky
is a fascist. Zhirinovsky wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes under Brezhnev.
He'd have been gone? Or he's like some camp in Siberia?
he would have been...
Dead.
Yeah, he'd have been gone.
He'd have been dead.
Yeah, it's 1 o'clock. This is WUSB Stony Brook. But, yeah, Zhirinovsky, no way.
It'd be interesting just to see what would happen if he got in power. It's interesting.
interesting, you and I would be in that on the damp tundra outside Moscow shooting shooting our ever jamming M16s and trying to avoid getting taken out by 7.62 rounds. If Zhirinovsky got into power, folks, you're gonna know what it was like for the Germans and the Russians in on the Eastern Front in World War II, because that's what's gonna happen. We're gonna be, and every single one of us is gonna be wearing a friggin' uniform, because you just don't want to just read up on the Eastern Front in World War II and what a meat grinder it was on both sides before you even think of Zhirinovsky getting into power.
He's not going to invade us.
No.
No.
But let me put it this way.
He's a little power hungry, I think, and a little land, you know, trying to invade Alaska. That's what he said. But...
invade Alaska, that would be funny.
That's what he said, he's going to invade Alaska.
Send Moose after him.
Huh?
Send Moose after him.
Can you get Moose again around a couple of minutes?
Yeah.
Well, why are you saying
get trampled
like Eastern
by
Front?
A moose.
Why would it be like Eastern Front if you're not getting power?
We would. I think we there will come to a point where there will be a shooting war against Russia if Zhirinovsky gets into power.
You're
because Zhirinovsky has these expansionist tendencies, and do I have a knife?
Oh, you want a knife?
Well, if I had one, I'd throw it at Zhirinovsky. But no, I don't. But I do know where there are some razor blades.
What, Matt? You're not doing anything rash, are you? Just because you turned 30?
No.
Hey, come on, man.
No. I'm just playing Kevorkian here. I'm helping somebody else.
What?
I'm only kidding.
I don't do that on the air.
Well, has anybody tried killing himself on the air?
I don't think so.
Are you afraid of Big Charlie?
Huh?
You afraid of Big Charlie coming after you?
No, not really.
That way you have a knife and a razor blade.
Nah, if I were really afraid of him, I'd carry a 9.
Carry a 9?
And yeah, I want fat clips for my 9.
Yeah, if you're an Oscar getting power, you're going to be carrying a 9 too, pal.
Combination and, Don't tell anybody.
But what are you doing?
Okay. Nothing.
That's
different. No, this is...
Oh, that one.
Yes, this
okay.
one. Yeah, April 2nd, 1993. It's a very significant date in WUSB history.
What?
April 2nd, 1993. Don't worry about it. Anyway, I'm going to put you on the side now, because I don't want to get all these callers in the 56 minutes I have left.
I got to get on the side with Jim, right?
Okay, hang on. Okay. Oof. Zhirinovsky. Scary. Okay, I'm bringing him in.
All right.
Okay. You're in.
I'm out and can't.
You're in.
I can never do that.
Are you in?
That's weird. Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, Rich. Hey, what's up?
So who's out? Hello, brain damage.
You put me in with a college guy and
okay, hang on. Jeez, I thought it was him. This is... Just think, no more of this. Okay, here we go. You're in.
Yeah.
Have fun. Okay, now let's get back to the real callers. Brain damage.
Yeah, Matt.
Yes.
How you doing? Listen, I got a couple of questions.
Go for it.
Being that you're a physicist and all...
Yes.
I and I were having a debate as to Einstein's equation E equals MC squared.
Uh-huh.
M is supposed to... He says M was supposed to stand for mass.
Yes, and it does.
It is mass.
Yes.
Oh, I always assumed that it was matter.
Oh, no. It's a mathematical equation. Matter is defined as anything that has mass.
Oh, so I guess I was... So he was right on that one. Okay. The second one is getting back to Stalin and everybody.
Yeah.
He wanted to know if you ever heard of Pol Pot, the dictator of Cambodia.
Oh, have I ever.
Oh, you have.
Hey, I am a cold warrior, folks. I hate commies. So it's a case of know thine enemy.
He said if you thought Stalin was bad with his people, he said Pol Pot wiped out about half his population.
Oh yeah, in terms of the percentage of the total population, Pol Pot was by far the worst. In terms of sheer outright numbers, Mao was the worst.
Really?
Yeah.
So any word on when you guys are going to be back on, or if you're going to be back on?
Well, like I said, we will take on a different form at some point, but since nothing's been finalized, I can't say. I can't say summer, I can't say now, I can't say anything, because I don't know.
Well, Matt, it's been nice having you on the air, and we've got one more week to listen to a really great show, and happy birthday and everything.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Brain damage.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Huh?
Hi.
Hi.
This is Lyle.
Lyle?
Yeah.
Yes, and what can I do for you, Lyle?
I just want to talk about hunting this evening.
Okay, hunting what in particular?
Anything. I just go out there and hunt anything.
Okay, anything that you'd like to eat, I hope?
No, not really. I just go out with my boys and, you know, I just take my gun. I blast anything in my way.
Whoopee. I hope you do it to each other. The purpose of hunting, I think, yeah, it is, people consider it a sport, but I wouldn't necessarily shoot at anything I couldn't eat. That's just the way I feel. That's like the same thing about fishing. I wouldn't fish for anything I couldn't eat or wouldn't want to eat. I kind of like salmon, so I'd fish for that. But on the other hand, I'd wait for them to, like, repopulate the rivers first. Anyway. Brain damage.
Good evening, Matt.
Yes.
This is Rob. What's happening?
Oh, not much.
I wanted to first say that the person talking about Vietnam before, I feel that we did not lose the war because if you lose a war, you actually lose something like territory or, you know, something tangible.
Oh, from a strict technical standpoint, we didn't.
We lost a lot of men, you know.
We lost a lot of men, but here's the reason why they say we lost the war, because we didn't fulfill the goal.
Right.
The goal, now Korea, did we win or did we lose? The answer, some people actually say we lost Korea, and you can't see how we lost Korea, because we held our ground, which is what we were there doing in the first place.
Right. Well, I think the reason for not getting our accomplishment in Vietnam was because there was an unlimited supply of commies. What I saw on TV, I saw a documentary. They said that people were born in the north to die in the south. So they just, you know, they had young kids taking part of the war. They had women fighting. So it was like an unlimited supply of people.
Well, that's
willing to,
yeah.
Sacrifice.
Yeah, they took a lesson from Stalin, what he did in World War II, the Great Patriotic War, as they called it. Stalin did not really care about necessarily loss of human life. He believed lives were a resource to be sacrificed at will for the cause. And the cause was beat back Germany at all costs. And boy, did he ever. Because, you know, they give Stalin a lot of credit for winning the Eastern Front. And the fact of the matter remains is that the Russians won in spite of him, not because of him.
Yeah, well, Vietnam didn't have Stalin, but they had what they called Uncle Ho.
Oh, Ho Chi Minh.
Yeah,
well,
they called him Uncle Ho.
Same idea. Same idea. The whole idea of the totalitarian philosophy, and I'm not saying socialist here because the Western democracy is a socialist and wouldn't think of doing a lot of this stuff. The idea of the totalitarian philosophy is, hey, you're there to give your life for your country, so how many of you do it really doesn't matter much to us as long as we get the job done. And that is what we were up against. But what was more important, that we had the moral edge over the North Vietnamese, no question about it. North Vietnamese were a hateful bunch of you-know-whats. But what our moral failure was is that the South Vietnamese weren't a lot better. South Vietnamese government, Nguyen Van Thieu, was not better. Diem was definitely not a lot better. And
well, they had a philosophy. American fighters had their search and destroy, and the South Vietnamese missions were called search and avoid.
Exactly. Because if you're a South Vietnamese soldier and you're trying to support a corrupt government, and Ho Chi Minh, remember, had a lot of credibility because he helped beat back the Japanese.
Yeah.
So you're saying, what the hell am I here for?
Yeah, well, I met
like what we were doing.
Vietnamese people. I went to a Buddhist temple in New Jersey. Let me tell you, the war is not over. They're nice, very nice people, very warm people, but there's still a tiny, tiny bit of an air of caution when dealing with Americans. You know, even though it's not right up front, you know, you can perceive a little bit of it, you know.
Yeah, understandable, but I always wondered if they're really so antsy about Americans, how, why are they here?
Yeah, I know, exactly. But,
That's one of my favorites about people. I'm not saying being... saying being critical about the country. Please, go for it. That's your right. But I always wondered that people who come into this country and then say, oh, I hate it. And I'm saying, well, you know, Canada would have taken you.
Yeah, anyone. I want to change the subject for a second here. Where does that that intro come from? It says, like, a perfumed woman? What's that deal?
That was a composition done in the studios of WUSB by a group that they call the Don Lawn Sextet, I believe. And I don't, it's a sextet. I don't know if there are actually six people in it. But anyway, that is a group of people here affiliated in some form with WUSB. And they actually put together this musical composition. That's all. It's a new age type of thing.
Oh, I
see. Yeah.
And I got this martial arts kind of like encyclopedia. I was just looking through. They had like a dateline of when certain styles, you know, came into practice. So I was trying to figure out which style was first, you know, which part of the world, you know, founded martial arts. And here we have Japanese, let's see.
By martial arts, we mean...
style, yeah, wrestling. Okay, in the year 720 in Japan, there was some kind of wrestling form. Then we have in the year 900, something from China came to Japan, but it's not martial arts, it's some kind of fighting technique. And then we have China, year 1271, kung fu used by anti-government resistance groups. But before that, in Japan, in the year 1192, it says Japanese Bushido emerged.
Now, Bushido...
I thought China was the beginning, you know, the beginning of that.
Well, Bushido, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the term, is the art of the samurai.
Yeah.
It is a warrior code, but it's also, of course, fighting techniques, too.
Right.
And you know what? There's one thing. Martial arts, the term martial arts in the American form of the English language, anyway, is used to describe, in particular, Eastern martial arts, namely Korean, Japanese, and Chinese.
Yeah.
And martial arts, everybody, every culture had martial arts back in the days of hand-to-hand fighting.
Yeah.
Europeans tended to use big, blunt weapons, and, of course, you had to have a technique on how to swing it. If you ever tried to use a broadsword, you know that it took some really incredible strength to get that thing around.
A lot of it originated from farming equipment, like developed into weapons.
Exactly. And you know that there were a lot of techniques involved, maybe some of which have been lost. The whole sport of fencing, okay, is a continuation of swordsmanship techniques, which, of course, are really no longer in use. But swordsmanship was still an essential part of the fighting man, not necessarily the infantry soldier, but definitely the cavalryman and the officer until World War One.
Yeah, well, I was in the Army. They didn't issue bayonets when I was in 1980.
No bayonets.
Wow. Standard issue. Not at the base that I went to.
Interesting,
you know,
because
maybe for special forces or something else.
Well, the M16, of course, can accept one, and it was originally designed with one in mind. But think about it: handling an M16 with a bayonet.
It's a light gun anyway. You can put anything on it. It's made out of aluminum and plastic.
Yeah. Weighs about 6 pounds.
Yeah, it's very light.
You know what? I fired one. I fired the AR-15 version of it.
Yeah.
And, folks, it's like shooting a camera.
Yeah, it's because the bolt inside has a spring behind it. When the bullet fires, the back of the bullet hits that piece of metal that hits the spring, which you know, if it didn't have a spring in the gun, it would hit your shoulder. So
yeah.
It's a spring instead. It's a buffer.
Man, I've had more kick from my camera.
Yeah, really. You know. Oh, yeah, another thing. Do you think Eric's listening right now?
It's a possibility. He may be laying out 2600, but on the other hand, he could be down in Amsterdam for all I know.
Well, if he's listening, I sent in my subscription, and I didn't get my magazine yet.
Okay, Eric.
So,
that's right. 2600 complaint.
Really? I sent him a note.
2600 complaint. Well, you know the number, right?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I mean, if you really have to get to him quick, dial that. You know what? I noticed something. Well, actually, it's probably in the magazine, whether a fax number.
Yeah, well, I did better than that. I looked up the number in the Kohl's listing.
Yeah.
That shows all the, you know, what names people, you know, listed under what number.
Yeah.
And the number for 2600 magazine is listed under Howard Tripod.
Well, hey, who knows what's behind that?
I think it's a fictional figure, you know.
The Tripod family is a series.
I think it has something to do with that, right?
It's a radio series here on WUSB that comes back every now and then. But anyway, as far as the number for 2600 magazine, those of you who are interested in obtaining a subscription, first of all, the procedure up for doing so is in every issue of 2600, and 751-2600 is the number. But, of course, you need to find out information of what the subscription rates are. Folks, one thing also I got to tell you, it is available at a lot of these chain bookstores. I haven't checked Borders yet, but it is available at Barnes & Noble. And one big complaint in a previous issue was where they stored it on the rack behind several other things. Probably behind.
I didn't see it. I went to Barnes & Noble in, was it Comac?
Yeah, I know the exact one. It was there.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It was definitely there because I saw it. And, of course, I can always get an issue for free, so.
Yeah, I was going to, you know what I was thinking before? I was going to stop down and make a surprise visit at the studio. But then I remembered that you were going to have guests on tonight, but then.
I wonder what happened to them.
Yeah, but then I remembered because I go to university. I'm an, you know, on and off student.
Yeah.
But now there's a five-way lock.
Yes, there is, and that's obviously so that we don't have to keep the door open while the building is closed.
Yeah, so...
Well, actually, next week that'll be solved because the building will be open again. And Eric is supposed to be here next week, and I hope he is. I hope we give Brain Damage the send-off it deserves. And, yeah, you can stop by then.
All right, yeah, that sounds cool. What time do you guys... Like, what time do you make it there, just in case, you know...
Just before the show.
Know, the door's closed and you're on the air or something like that.
Just before the show. Believe me, there'll be a crowd of people. Trust me. Anyway, I gotta go.
All right, Matt.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, bye.
Bye. Brain Damage.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Hi, it's Sue and Kim.
Hey, Sue, what's up?
Nothing. How you doing?
Pretty good.
How's the show been?
You tell me. You've been listening.
Hey, hold on a second. Can you load on the radio, Kim? Hold on a second, because I'm hearing...
I never brag.
Actually, no, I haven't been listening. We've been talking. We're having men talk.
Oh, men talk. Oh, man bashing or man lauding or man in between?
At relationships and stuff.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Nick, if you listen. Hi, Nick.
Who's Nick?
Say hi to Nick. Hold on a second.
Hi, Nick.
Who's Nick?
Nick. Nick's cool, man.
Oh, you own Nick. Brother Nick.
What?
Nick here at USB.
No. This other guy, Nick. We just came back from, like, a dance at St. Joe's.
Okay.
And, we get this guy's like a really nice guy and like he listens to us. He listens to our woman problem.
Okay, and what is your latest woman problem, or dare I ask?
Relationships. Kim's nodding ahead with that one. Hey, Victor, if you listen, hello.
Okay. What is the biggest problem? What is the biggest relationship problem? I know I'm burying myself with this, but go ahead.
What's our biggest relationship problem?
Yes.
Hold on a second. Kim. Moving too quickly into the relationship.
Oh, yes. And who wants to get in too quickly, you or him?
Us or him? Who? Both, yeah.
Both going into it too quickly.
Yeah, like you get into each other, that you hang out with each other and too much, and then you get sick of each other.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Bingo, that's right. But on the other hand, hey, some relationships are meant to burn out.
Yeah, that's true. Things happen for a reason.
Yes, things do happen for a reason, but true, getting into each other too much is a huge problem with relationships, spending too much time with each other at the expense of your friends. And I know what the solution is.
Mm-hmm. What?
Date somebody who doesn't live anywhere near you.
Date someone that doesn't...
Doesn't live anywhere near you.
And I don't get to see him.
Well, no, you get to see him when you absolutely, positively want to and at no other time.
Yeah, that's true. My friend has that same situation. Karen B., because she lives home, but her boyfriend goes away to college.
Oh, well, no, those stink. Long-distance relationships are awful. Because
yeah.
What they are basically is an impediment on your freedom for something that is, I guess, not really there.
Yeah. Well, I met some guy tonight, and he kind of handed me the keys. He said, let's go to the truck. I'm like, what? But he was really hot, Matt. Ooh, he was hot. He has big blue eyes.
Yeah.
So he's friends with this guy, Nick. And I said, Nick. And then Nick's like, oh, that's my buddy. And I said, ooh, hook me up with him. But, like,
hey.
He was just joking around when he said that, obviously, but... So then Nick's like, just take it slowly. Let him take you to the movies and dinner. So.
And then go to the truck.
Nick's hooking me up, man. Nick's the man.
Yeah.
He is. He's the nicest guy in the world, and we love him. So.
You know what? I'm going to use that term from now on.
What?
Let's go in the truck.
Let's go in the truck?
Yeah. Because it rhymes with everything we know. Let's go in the truck.
Matt! What's up with that? No, he's really nice, but I don't know why he said that for it. I looked at Nick, and I'm like, what's up with that?
Let's go in the truck. That's right.
I look different, because I haven't seen Nick in a while, and I've been going to the tanning salon.
Uh-huh.
I have a nice tan. So he's like, where have you been? I'm like, Aruba.
Oh, God. That's
kind of like lied.
You've explained the existence of tanning salons, by the way.
Tanning salon, and it's like St. Martinique, whatever the hell the place is called, and then there's Cancun, and there's like different names, Jamaica. And so I go into one called Aruba. So I tell people I went to Aruba.
Hey, why not?
It's true. It's honest, isn't it?
Yeah, but on the other hand, how much does it cost to go to a tanning salon?
Well, this place, they give you free 3 sessions, and they're having this January special.
Mm-hmm.
So you get your tan base, and then, like, you go 10 sessions for $30, but they took $5 off.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm basically getting 13 sessions for $25.
Oh, it's a shame, because I thought it was much more expensive than that, because you could have actually
really
gone to Aruba and on the money you spent on the tanning salon. But anyway, no, you couldn't have. You couldn't have. It's not. Aruba's much more expensive than that.
Yeah, well, you know, it keeps you good, because I hate the winter. You know, I like the summer.
Yeah, I hate winter, too. Unfortunately, I burn relatively easily, so...
So do I. I'm Irish. I have the most Irish skin in the world.
Uh-huh.
So, Kim just told me to be quiet because I'm loud. But anyhow, I have Irish skin, so, like, I get burnt really badly. But,
uh-huh.
I don't know. I've had this tan that's, like, totally awesome. I've never had a tan like this before. So...
Last time I had a really good tan, I was looking at my college ID from when I was 18. Man, I spend, like, every other day on the beach.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you see, there's one thing. That's one of the things about tans is, first of all, a tan, at least nowadays, because of the high risk of skin cancer and everything like that, is never really been a goal with me. It's kind of a side benefit, so to speak, from spending a lot of time at the beach, and that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because I'm been in the real world for a while, I haven't had much time to spend at the beach.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of stink, because I worked during the day, too, so it was kind of hard. Like, I'd only be off, like, on Fridays and Tuesdays. So then, like, by the weekend, come, like, my car would be, like, totally gone by Monday.
Uh-huh.
That's because I'd get, like, totally, I'd spend, like, 8 hours. Most of my friends are Italian, so they're getting these nice tans. My mom getting red like a cherry, looking like a total idiot. And then I'd have blisters, and then I couldn't go in the sun for 2 weeks because my face is peeling off.
Yep.
But I don't know. I like the beach, though, just to hang out, but, you know, I got to wear that sun bra.
Sunscreen, yes.
No. Oh, yeah, I got my college schedule, and I took your advice.
Okay, what was that?
Remember you told me about, like, take what you want?
Yeah.
I'm taking, like, 2 psych courses. I'm taking sexism and humanities, and I'm taking this intro to alcoholism class.
Intro to alcoholism? What is that? They get you drunk?
You gotta get us wasted and see what the effects are.
Yeah,
this is what a hangover feels like.
Intro to Alcoholism. That is such a great title for a course. Intro to Alcoholism is what I do when I go to a bar, folks. Intro to Alcoholism.
It's funny, it says intro to alcohol. I'm like, ooh, Mama's like, what's this? I'm like, oh, intro to alcoholism. It'd be an easy A.
Hey, who the hell came up with a name like that, Intro to Alcoholism?
Hey, yay, all the way, baby.
It's like, oh, God.
Working that 12-step recovery.
Yeah, well, they figure they'd make you an alcoholic first, and then advanced alcoholism is...
Advanced alcoholism class.
Yes, advanced alcoholism class is when you totally
fall into oblivion, and then
you're in your late stages,
and then
your
senior, and then by senior year, senior level alcoholism is AA meetings.
What?
Senior level alcoholism is AA meetings.
What are you talking about? Senior level.
Well, you know, you have your intro course, your intermediate course, and then your advanced course, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, intro to alcoholism, they get you they get you into binge drinking.
Uh-huh.
Intermediate level alcoholism, your life totally goes to waste, and advanced alcoholism is AA meetings.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's the alcoholism major.
Wait, what do they do at AA meetings and stuff?
Basically, they admit. First of all, the whole idea is admitting to being an alcoholic, and it's just a peer group where you essentially try to help each other not be an alcoholic anymore. Or no, I shouldn't say not be an alcoholic anymore.
Alcoholic is an alcoholic.
Yeah, an alcoholic is an alcoholic is an alcoholic, but stay off the stuff essentially. And that in a few words is how AA meetings work.
Over people, places, and things, right?
Yes.
Isn't that what it's about?
Yeah, about that, and it's
the Pensy course. I mean, like, they told us to go to, like, an AA meeting and stuff, and they were told they had, like, these 12 steps and stuff, and
uh-huh.
I don't know. They're all talking about their problems, and they're drinking, and they're drugging, and,
and
their family problems, and issues, and...
Yeah, well,
that live in one day at a time.
Well, hey, it's serious business when you have to decide every day, I'm not gonna drink today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, of course, those of you who are not alcoholics, you don't have to make the conscious decision. You just don't. But to someone who is addicted to this stuff, that's a conscious decision, and sometimes it's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah, I can imagine. There's people are crying and stuff, and wow, man, it was definitely a trip when I was sitting there. But they were nice people. They were like, oh, hi, how are you? And they thought I was an alcoholic.
Well, yeah, because usually people who go are.
Yeah, well, you can only go to open discussion meetings.
Yeah, the really hardcore ones you probably can't go to.
Yeah. I'm like, can you let me in? Are you going to lie, Jimmy? Are you an alcoholic?
Yeah.
You walk in the room.
Well, I guess it's, like I said, advanced alcoholism, you got to admit you are, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But
oh,
that's
okay.
What I'm saying. Like, I don't know, I think I heard this, like, they're not getting a relationship in the first year and all that.
Well, yeah, because they figure... Like some of our callers have gone through, relationships actually can add to the problem.
Yeah, they're like supposed to keep the focus on themselves.
Yes, dependency.
Codependency. Yes.
And codependency and enabling and all the other neat stuff.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder about all this. And Al-Anon and NA and have Sex Anonymous.
Sex Anonymous. Well, the one that Wade Boggs founded. Okay.
Can I go on teleconference?
Let's see if I can fit you. Hang on.
Okay.
Hey, can I fit Sue in there?
No. Can you do me a favor, Matt?
What?
Can you call this number? Can you call Wizard back? Because he hung up.
I can't do that. I'm in the middle of a show.
Come on, call Wizard.
What?
Well,
why don't you just say, yo, Wizard, call?
Yeah, do it, please.
I just did.
No, call him.
Just hang up and call him on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call him on the phone.
Why not? Okay.
No. He calls us. We don't call him.
But I'm saying, Rich, tell him, announce it over here. Tell him.
Okay.
Wizard, if you're listening.
Just for that. Have fun, Sue.
Okay.
Yo.
Oh, God. Whatever. Brain damage.
Yeah, I got Tony Thomas on Bayshore here.
Tony Thomas. Boy, you sound under the weather.
Hey, I'm okay today.
Okay, Tony Thomas, let me flip the tape over and get that song going.
Okay, hold on.
Use the long intro.
Okay.
Okay. Tony Thomas from Bayshore. Okay. Reporting the dead air, folks. You see, one thing about brain damage is that I can get away with this stuff that sounds totally unprofessional on radio because, let's face it, most of the time is, I don't know. Why am I saying this stuff? Why am I dissing myself on brain damage?
Okay, hold on. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Bake me
I am a drunken bum. Oh, it takes my pee-pee numb. A mustache is dry, coming storm. The dry right, the far as the one. You can eat me, I'm delicious. Grade A number one nutrition. You can eat me with chocolate. As long as it's packed in Amsterdam.
A triumph.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, Tony Thomas. For the last show next week.
Yeah.
How about Tony Thomas Unplugged?
Tony Thomas Unplugged?
On acoustic guitar, yes.
So you want me to call and make it finally unplugged next week?
Well, let's see. It's going to be pretty crowded in here, but I want to hear, in any case, Tony Thomas Unplugged. I want to hear acoustic version of Tony Thomas next week.
Okay, so I'll call up and do acoustic?
Do acoustic, yeah.
All right, that'd be great, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey, is there anything left on the side?
Huh?
Anything left on the side?
Hang on. Okay, Tony Thomas from Bayshore on his way in.
It's cool.
Solve the hub of glasses.
Okay. You're in.
That is cool.
Your coat.
Yeah, what's up?
Now, there must have been some kind of double entendre in there that I didn't get. Brain damage.
Brain damage?
Yeah.
You're not coming in on my radio.
Oh, okay. Well,
you went off.
I went off the radio?
Yeah.
Just a second. Let me check this. No, I'm still there.
Oh, you're not on my radio.
Okay. Do you have a digital tuner?
Yeah.
It says 90.1 on it?
Exactly. I heard half of you and Sue's conversation, and you went off.
Oh, I went off.
It just, like, totally blanked out.
But you're kidding. Yeah, you're on the air. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at all my monitors here and checking my my air monitor here at the station, and we're pulling our usual 95.6% power on our transmitter, and we're on the air.
What happened to my radio then?
I don't know, but where are you? What town are you in?
St. James.
St. James? Well,
yeah.
That's no excuse. I figured if you were in Massapequa or something, that might explain it. But wow, you can't get anybody. Oh, well, you are on, for better or for worse. So you're going to have to, at least for the next minute or two, listen to the show through your phone. So what do you want to talk about tonight?
I don't know. I wasn't sure. The phone ringing for so long. I forgot what I want to talk about. Nay, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know. You tell me. That's what the whole thing is about.
Wait, I'm on. It's on now.
Okay, that's better.
No, you tell me.
Yeah, it's on delay. You have to turn your radio down while you're talking to me, though. Otherwise, things get really confused.
I did. What, Mary? Mary wants to know if you ever saw the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I have seen it several times, yes.
Several times. What do you think?
What do I think of the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yeah.
It is a classic.
Yeah?
Yes.
Classic? Hold on a second, okay? Talk to Mary.
Okay.
Mary, hold on. Hello?
Yes.
What's up?
Not much.
This is Scary Mary.
Scary Mary. Okay, Scary Mary, tell me something. Do you ever go to showings of the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Well, let me just tell you, I saw it at Stoller Center.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, with a couple of friends of mine, and we were in the front row.
Oh, did you get hit with the water guns?
Yes, we bought our own stuff, so we basically got hit with it all because we were in the front.
Yep.
was really cool. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, finally somebody had the brains to show Rocky Horror on the Stony Brook campus a few years back.
Yeah, and of course they'll never bring it back again.
Yeah, but that was great. I have to admit, that was terrific, bringing it on the Stony Brook campus, because we found out how many Rocky Horror fans there were.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, and you had so many guys.
Oh, we got to go in the green room afterwards and meet all the actors.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, you with at the Stoller Center, they brought actors in.
Yeah.
Oh.
It wasn't the movie. It was the live show, the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, I've not seen that. I've seen the movie.
That was last November.
I've not seen that, but wow, that must have been wild. You know, Barry Bostwick and a bustier, man. You know what's really
wild? You gotta love that.
You know what's really wild?
There's so much hidden meaning in that movie, though. That's why I love it.
But what's really wild is that Barry Bostwick later on played George Washington in a miniseries.
Right.
Two perfect examples of Americana, folks. A Rocky Horror Picture Show and George Washington.
Totally.
You can't go wrong.
And, you know, all of them started out in porn. Susan Sarandon,
Even Tim Curry?
Tim Curry? I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
But I do know that Tim Curry is very ashamed of Rocky Horror Picture Show. He's not ashamed of it, but it's not like one of his most memorable movies. Like, most people remember him for that.
Uh-huh.
And he's kind of just like, you know,
I've done other
laid
stuff
back about it. He doesn't want to really remember that for. He doesn't want to die being known as like a transvestite, you know.
Well, unless even those who are transvestites don't necessarily want to be remembered for it. But it's true. Tim Curry's done other stuff since then, and, you know, it was almost 20 years ago.
Right,
folks.
Right.
And
I mean, still, some people are living that movie, like, every day, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Remembering it and stuff.
Yeah, and that's one 20-year-old movie that can be shown in theaters, and you can charge admission for it because of the whole interactive thing.
Oh, yeah. That's why I like that movie. It is so much fun.
Yes, it's the dawn of interactive media, folks. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, that was like the whole start of just like audience participation in anything. That's the way I feel.
Yeah, of course. Does anybody remember that Meatloaf was in it?
I know.
You know what? Back in
Back
in 77 or so, Tim Curry hosted Saturday Night Live with Meatloaf as a musical guest, and they
had
Tim and Meat's Rocky Horror Emporium, where they had we got plenty of toast here, and
that was awesome. That's on Comedy Central every now and then.
Yeah,
really funny.
Yeah, I wish they'd get it on Huntington Cable, man. Cablevision of Huntington or Woodbury or wherever the hell it is does not have Comedy Central on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we don't get any of those good channels.
That's right.
That's horrible. You guys obviously get Brookhaven Cable.
Yeah, we're Brookhaven.
Yeah, they put Comedy Central on it. They'll try anything on that one. We get Deadbeat Dolan's Cablevision bureaucracy, and we get nothing.
Right. Well, we in Brookhaven didn't get TBS until, like, last month.
You're not missing much.
What?
You're not missing much.
Well, Little House on the Prairies happens to be one of my favorite shows.
How many different versions of Andy Griffith can you stand?
That's true. Good point. But, you know.
That and the Braves games. There's no baseball, so what's the point?
I'm going to put us on what?
Karen
is asking if we could be put on teleconference.
I don't know if I can fit you. I'll take a head count. Hang on. Hello.
Yeah.
Hi,
Matt. Yeah. Can you tell me how many people are there?
Like five.
There's like 10 people on this line. It's ridiculous.
You gotta save room for Wizard, though.
I have no room in there, then. I counted six, and six is as much as this thing can take.
Well, just put the last one.
Four.
No, we gotta save room for Wizard.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't even think you have room for him anyway, so,
Me, Kim, Kevin.
Stick around. Okay, I got six people on there, it's as much as I think can take.
Tell Sue it's Karen from Proportion.
Okay, but I still no guarantee that I'll get you in. Hang on. Sue, it's Karen from Proportions.
Oh my God, put her on.
Can I fit her?
Yes, you can, put her on now.
Who hung up?
Nope.
John probably. John, you're still there, right?
How many lights do you see?
Oh, okay. John must have hung up. Okay.
Oh.
That should be six now.
That's it.
No, five.
Karen!
Hang on.
Oh, God. 1:41 here on WUSB. More time to kill. Brain damage.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering, can I read a poem?
Sure. All
right. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Go. Turn your radio down.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
His brain bulged as I vigorously slammed the axe into his head near his stomach.
At least do it with a straight face. Brain damage. Yes.
It's been a while waiting here. Good morning and happy birthday.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you something. Did you see an article yesterday by Phil Mushnick, a Seton Hall basketball player, who was charged with first-degree sexual assault, and he was given a full scholarship?
Okay. Now, this was he charged before the fact or after the fact?
I believe he was charged before. They were recruiting him, and he pled guilty to it. And I think the day he pled guilty, they gave him the full scholarship.
Wow.
I was just wondering what your take on that is.
My take on that is, how long ago did it happen?
I think it was last month or something. He's still playing in high school right now.
Well, I'll bet. First of all, my fact is that he will definitely not have that scholarship within a month. I will guarantee it, because once people get wind of this, Seton Hall is going to have to back out. Second of all, we have to know what the circumstances of the case is, because first-degree sexual assault,
yes.
That's like slightly under rape.
Uh-huh. He pled guilty, and I think today in Newsday there was an article, a little blurb with that.
Is he doing any time for it?
He's getting 5 years probation.
In 5 years probation, and Seton Hall is still giving him a scholarship. You know, it used to be back in the days, if you got convicted of shoplifting, you'd lose college scholarships.
Oh, definitely, but you can play basketball, too, so...
It didn't matter then.
Yep.
There was a time when you could barely even get into college if you had anything resembling a delinquent record.
Oh, yeah, there's also the fact that he hasn't got a 700 on his SATs yet, but...
Well, they can use that as an excuse, but see... Oh, God.
But the coach named George Blaney said that... He's fine with it. He's a good student, and hey.
George Blaney said he's fine with it, and he's a good student, and the guy pled guilty to first-degree sexual assault.
And go figure.
Go figure is right. Now, of course, I haven't seen the exact circumstances of the case. Maybe he pled guilty to it because he figured that they figured that maybe he wouldn't get a fair trial or some other crazy thing like that. He did on legal advice, whatever. But on the surface of it, if I hear... pled guilty to first-degree sexual assault, still getting a college scholarship, I'm wondering why.
Yeah, I know. St. John's is recruiting them along with a lot of schools, too, so, I mean, it's not...
And a Catholic school, no less, who are supposed to answer to a higher authority.
He can play basketball, though.
He can play basketball. And like I said, if this starts to become a headline story, this kid's scholarship is probably going to be rescinded.
Yeah, he probably just pled guilty to get it out of the headlines, but it's there right now.
It got back in. you know what? But on the other hand, I heard that there was a fellow in Nebraska on the Nebraska football team that had a bad history of sexual assault, and plenty of witnesses to back it up. I don't know if he's ever been prosecuted.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about this, but it's apparently it was mentioned in the Times.
But I remember
and
seeing
nowhere else.
When they were playing, you know,
totally
they playing the
swept
Orange
under
they mentioned something about it.
Yeah.
Why he was still playing? Or...
Yeah, basically the Nebraska system protected him.
Yeah, I was just, you know, I mean, maybe it's not fair to judge him and ruin his career for the rest of his life because
well,
of one thing, but
the fact
to get a full scholarship for that,
yeah.
You know, I mean, still.
I don't have enough information to say that he should or he shouldn't, but on the surface of it, all other things not being relevant, he shouldn't.
Definitely. There's plenty of other people out there trying to get into college. And
that's right. Not only that, how badly do they need them? How badly they need somebody like that? And besides which, would you, if as a coach or as an athletic department executive, want to have to worry by keeping this guy in line?
Definitely not. They interviewed some people on the campus, and they were worried about it, and they just had a rape there last year or something.
Yeah, come on.
It's probably not going to go through, but I'm just wondering what you thought about it.
Could you imagine
if they try to recruit somebody like that, he says it's a Stony Brook and word got out.
But definitely, he'd be gone in an instant.
He wouldn't, like I said, 5 minutes, I'd give it.
Definitely.
Wouldn't last 5 minutes. Oh, God. You know, in the criminal pecking order, sex offenders rank lowest.
Mm.
And with good reason, because guys don't even like them.
So, yeah, I was just curious what you thought, and hopefully he'll be taken away or whatever. But
well, or at the very least, this thing will be clarified.
You know, but Revolution 48, whatever.
How the hell, how does anybody defend such an action like that? I'm just totally lost.
I don't know the circumstances, but he did plead guilty, and still you can't accept this, you know, it's just that. It's not moral, I suppose.
I think it's ridiculous. And also, if in fact that he was guilty and didn't do it just to cop a plea, he don't belong anywhere where there's people.
Definitely, he shouldn't be on the basketball court. But I mentioned the other schools were recruiting him, too, so that still makes them in it, too, if they knew about this. So.
Hey, I'll tell you something. As a St. John's fan, you better believe, as the St. John's fans and all the opposing Big East fans are going to get wind of this, and he is going to get, oh, God. I remember there's a fellow on the Syracuse team a few years back named Andre Hawkins. Andre Hawkins had a little altercation. I don't think he was ever formally charged with anything, but word got out, and basically he became the Ripper. And everybody, all the opposing fans especially, got on him big time.
Well, you got in Georgetown, Allen Iverson?
Yeah.
That's different, though. That was a fight in a bowling alley, I think.
Pretty yeah.
Sure. That was, did he serve jail time, or?
For that? I'm not sure.
He got, like, 2 years or something, or 2 months, maybe, and he was pardoned by the governor, which is interesting. But.
Yeah, well, hey, he's a good basketball player.
The athlete, student athlete.
Yeah. But I'll tell you something. There are times when the athletes, there a lot of people say athletes get too many privileges anyway, but then they take it a little too far with that. Boys will be boys. I'm sorry, it doesn't apply.
He still averages 25 points a game, so hey, put him in there. See, Noah played a good game today. Though.
Hey, I got a good question for you.
Hey.
I got a great question for you. If O.J. were still an active player, would this have been swept under the rug?
Yeah.
Good question.
All right, let me go. Thanks for a memorable 2 years with brain damage.
Okay, thanks. Okay, wow. 149 here on brain damage. Brain damage.
It's Blueface.
Who?
Blueface.
Where's Chaka Khan?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, Rufus and Chaka Khan. Actually, Rufus is a band, but, you know, where's Chaka Khan?
Oh, man, I had no idea, man. Yeah. What is she?
You don't even know who Chaka Khan is.
I know who she is.
At least you know who it was. It's a her.
I know who she is.
So you didn't know the name of her backup band was Rufus?
I didn't care.
You don't care?
I didn't care. Don't care for her music. Don't jive me.
Elton John?
No, so they don't jive me.
Oh.
You went crazy about that, aren't you?
How the?
Huh?
Brain damage.
Oh, hello?
Hello.
I just wanted to say that I killed a deer, steers, and queers.
Oh, God. There are nights and there are nights. And let me put it this way. Whatever we morph into, this stuff ain't getting through. Brain damage.
Hello?
Yeah?
Hey, man. I got a problem here.
What?
I'm, like, being stalked.
By what?
Just don't hang up on me, all right? Yeah, I'm having problems. I just can't get it out. Like, these sick things are stalking me.
What?
They steal my newspaper in the morning. I try to go to bed at night. And I just can't because they knock on my window.
Who's they?
These like, little red men.
Little red men?
Yeah. And they
so that's what happened to the St. John's team.
The aliens are green.
Little red men?
Yeah.
Little red men. Now, who's the shortest guy ever played for St. John's?
Oh, little red men.
David Kane,
like,
maybe?
And they have, like, 25 million eyes.
25 million eyes.
I tried throwing nail polish remover in them because my green cat told me I should. And
throw salt on them. Brain damage.
Hello, this is Muhammad.
Muhammad?
Yes. I want to start off by saying hi to my friends who are listening.
Go ahead.
My friend Anthony. Brian. Jay and Jen and a few other people.
And Peter and Bobby and Marcia.
My friend Leroy, he used to call 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
He eats peanut brittle.
Yeah.
I remember Eric.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
He'll be back next week.
I hate him.
Whoopee. Brain damage. Brain damage.
Well,
yes.
I was just wondering, how do you put up with all these weird people?
Huh? How
do you put up with all these weird people that call?
Ever get a feeling that might be where why next week is the last show?
All right. Your show really sucks.
And so do you. Brain damage.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
What's up? It's Andy.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Let me see. Oh, I wanted to tell you. Can you call me back or no?
Yeah, I'll call you back in about 7 minutes or so.
All right, cool.
Okay. Brain damage.
Dude, you hung up on me before.
Well, your story was getting boring. Brain damage. You're brain boring, too. Brain damage.
Ah, it's Leroy.
Hey, finally, real thing.
Muhammad, why that boy hang up on me?
Well, why Muhammad hang up on you?
A fool.
Huh?
A fool.
Well, yeah.
God damn it. Meet my peanut brittle.
Oh, that's what he's been doing.
I said.
Yeah.
Right.
He hung up on me. That's a change. Brain damage.
Hey.
Hi.
I just want to say hi to Eric.
Go ahead.
He's one of my friends that are listening right now.
Okay.
And I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
Okay.
Brain damage.
Go ahead!
Twit. Brain damage.
Yo, what's up, man?
What's going on?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Pretty good.
I wanted to talk about something.
Okay, go ahead.
You know how there's been crazy people shooting up abortion clinics lately?
Yeah.
I know. What's up with them people? They're for laughs, and they go shooting people. What's their problem?
That's what everybody else is trying to figure out, too.
Yeah, I know, man. I got a sister, man.
Mm-hmm.
Who worked for abortion clinic. She has 6 legitimate children. I can't have this, man. I gotta go.
Like I said, at least try to keep a straight face. Brain damage.
Hello. Hey, how you doing, man?
How you doing?
Hey, boy, how are you going to get to your car today? Are you sure you're going to get to your car today?
Oh, yeah, I'm quite sure, and I'm sure I'm going to have to run you over to get out of the parking lot.
I'm going to get through with my monster truck, buddy. I'm a big monster truck to smash it.
What a total moron. Hey, dude, why don't you send the script to Hollywood? Hey, it saved the Vaseline. You're going to need it when you're in jail. Brain damage. Brain damage.
Yeah, I'm Lyle's friend.
Larry's friend?
Lyle. I go hunting with him.
Yeah?
He shoots, you know, just anything that runs around.
Including people?
Oh, God. Why'd you say you wanted him dead?
No, I didn't say I wanted him dead. I just said, he was starting to talk like an idiot.
Who likes to shoot things, man?
That's fine, but eat them.
But they're dead and gross. What the hell?
Well, that's usually how meat is.
You like to shed their blood.
Why?
Because it's cool to watch them die.
Why don't you just go watch movies like Pulp Fiction? Moron. Brain damage.
What's up, kid?
What's down?
Nothing. I just wanted to say hi to my friend Robbie that just called.
Okay.
Pretty cool. He's not, like, gay or anything.
Well, not that it really mattered.
This is just chilling on the phone here.
Uh-huh.
My niggas around.
Huh?
Huh?
What'd you say?
Just chilling with my niggas.
Yeah, I guess so.
This is like the best night, man.
What happened?
We got drunk, we got high, we're going crazy. Listen, Metallica, we're going to bust everything, we're going to go crazy.
Well, don't bust anything that ain't your own.
All right. Rock on, man.
Okay, party on. Brain damage.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to wish you, like, a happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I just wanted to... Actually, I had a little debate today, like, with my friend. You sound like an educated person. I just wanted to say,
I went here.
Oh, what?
I went to Stony Brook, so I guess I'm somewhat educated.
Yeah, you sound educated, but...
Yeah.
Like, I recently went to a concert, and I had a really bad time, even though the bands were really good. And I had a bad time because of the crowd. And she says that the bands make the show, and I said the crowd makes the show, kind of like.
I think it's a balance between the two, because, like, you're right. A good band, bad crowd will screw up a show for you. No question.
Well, because, I don't know, it was just really stupid, and I had a horrible time. Just because of stupid skinheads, I couldn't handle them. And it just really bums me out because I was having a really good time.
What was the name of the band?
All these skinheads show up, and it was just horrible.
What band was it?
What?
What band was it?
It was the Scofflaws with a few other ska bands.
Scofflaws are good. I've
seen
them a few times.
And if you go into the city, a whole bunch of skinheads come in, and then, like, the lead singer just sits there, and he tries to joke with them and, you know, put them off. And he jumped on the stage and started... screaming like Nazi power.
National Front morons again.
I know.
Those aren't real skinheads, by the way. I just want to warn you. Real skinheads are usually the guys who go to the Scofflaws concerts and chill. Because I know a few of them, and real skinheads will bump into you and apologize. Like one did in London a while back. I keep talking about that because it was just so miraculous.
Yeah, I know a bunch of them too, but some of them are just so stupid because, like, the whole ska thing is supposed to be that unity of races, and here they're sitting here listening to it, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's a total juxtaposition, so to speak.
I don't know. I had a horrible time. We were sitting there arguing about it because she went to a show and she said the crowd was awful and she had a really good time.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It was just really horrible. Hated it. It's going to be a long time until I go to another show. Plus, I got hurt at the show and they hurt me and they didn't even, like, apologize. It was horrible.
What happened? Mosh pit injury?
No, they threw a bottle at, like, the stage and it broke. You know?
Yeah.
And I was sitting with the guy.
You know what I noticed something? Whenever there's a concert, in many cases, what they'll do is only sell tap beer and in cups.
Well, they try to, but,
yeah.
I mean, people are going to sneak it in no matter what.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
people
true.
People are smoking weed on the floor. I mean, it's kind of stupid.
That's why I recommend going. I mean, I love the city venues, no question about it. But if you really want to see the Scofflaws, go see them when they come out to New York Avenue.
New York Avenue, or even Huntington.
That's it. That's where it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go see them this weekend, hopefully. But
they're at New York Avenue this weekend?
No, they're at, like, I think it's the Roxy or something like that.
Yeah, I know it, yeah.
Like, teenage thing.
No, I'm just, do you have one of their postcards? Cause they mailed me one about a month ago, and it's outdated. Do you know, when are they playing New York Avenue next?
New York Avenue? I have the slightest idea.
Ask them next time you see them.
Yeah, I know. They're really cool.
Yeah, we've had them here. We've had them here at USB.
What?
We've had them here at USB.
Really? I've never seen it. You keep on coming off. I can't hear you.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, really? Because your sentences are just like being chopped off.
Clipped? Okay.
I really don't understand you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
For
some unknown
reason. We have had the Scofflaws at WUSB in the studio.
I still can't hear you.
We have had them in the studio. They have played for us live.
Okay, I can hear you.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's
about it.
Okay, it's 2:01, so I gotta go.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, by the way.
Okay, bye.
Okay. To the left brain and the right brain, well, where were you? I've been stood up. It's my birthday and I got stood up. Incredible. Okay, for those of you who understand the French language, I'm going to read something very quickly for you, and then I will turn the reins over to who will eventually be my successor on this slot, so I guess he can wait a minute. he can afford to wait a minute because he's taking over my show. Anyway. Ah. Est-ce que vous étiez conscient d'hier? Les femmes avec leurs vagins soupirant et fouillant frottent convulsivement. L'air était pensé par les sons bizarres. Sanglots, cris de chameaux. C'est dangereux de se pencher en dedans. Fais quelque chose. Okay. The person who sent that knows what it means, and maybe there are a few of you who understand the language or know what that means, but I'm not going to translate for you because I don't have time. This is WUSB Stony Brook. Until next week, the final installment of Brain Damage, I bid you leave. Good night, everybody. Sorry about that. I bid your leave.